Good morning. How many of you thought about gravity yet this morning? Probably nobody. Did anybody go, you know what? I'm afraid that I'm going to drift out of the seat. Gravity's going to take a break. I'm going to drift out of my seat, be very disrupting in the middle of Billy's sermon, so I'm bringing an extra rock and putting it in my pocket this morning. No. We are. How many of you have ever been glad for gravity? Yeah. Guess what? It changes the way we live, doesn't it? If I drop these keys on the floor, I know exactly where to look for them, don't I? When I drop them, I don't ever go, wonder where my keys are. It guides our life. It forms what we do. It shapes our thoughts about things. And it, sometimes it's unfortunate. In about the 11th grade, I really, really, really wanted to be a basketball player. But guess what? Gravity prevented that. I could not jump high enough to be on a basketball team. But it formed my life. And I want to talk to you about something that's very, very counterculture, but it does the same thing as gravity. It works all the time in the background of our lives, and it forms what we do and our thought processes, and it's a spiritual law, not a physical law. It's the idea of sowing and reaping. See, we really don't like that idea. We are constantly in our culture trying to sever the connection between action and consequence. It is a human urge almost. I hear this out of school teachers. I'm not giving you a grade, you're earning it. Anybody ever heard that from a teacher? Yeah. It's unfortunate in my case at times. How many of you ever played the lottery? I've played the lottery one. Yeah, I bought Carol a ticket one time when it was like $400 million. I said, here you go, baby. It's the closest we'll ever have to $400 million. It's kind of a joke. But why is the lottery so popular? It does just that. It severs the connection between action and consequence. For $1, I'm going to have $400 million. I'm not going to work, I'm not going to save, I'm not going to invest, I'm not going to go to school and get the right degrees. I'm just going to get it because I paid $1. And I'll go from being poor to rich. And we wonder what happens to those people. Why it is that most people that win the lottery end up worse off than before they won it. There is an appeal to break the link between action and consequence. Because, see, if I can break that link, then I no longer have any what? Responsibility. And most of us feel very uncomfortable with that idea. But God says that this world is ruled by the law of sowing and reaping. It's part of our moral fabric. And here's the deal. As frustrated as it makes us, as much as we'd like to, as often as we'd want to, that law cannot be overturned. And the way to wisdom is not to make war against the law, but to understand it and rightfully apply it to our lives so that it benefits us instead of punishing us. And here's something that you can write this down and make book on this. This comes from about 56 years of experience. If you ignore the law of sowing and reaping, it only leads to sorrow and regret. If you ignore it, it leads to sorrow and regret. So if you have your Bibles, open them to Galatians chapter 6. We talked about that chapter last week. I want to pick up in verse 3 and look down through verse 9. This is a letter that Paul writes to the church in Galatia. This is a Roman province in Asia Minor. It's on the coast, if that makes any sense to you. It is about written about 35 years after Jesus ascends into heaven. And Paul planted the first church in Galatia, and the churches are springing up all along the coast. And he writes this letter to the church in Galatia to help them to understand this whole idea of church growth. In chapter 6, and this is a difficult chapter to read because he goes in one verse from talking about sharing our burdens, each other's burdens. In another verse, the exact next verse, he talks about carrying our own load. And what happens here is there's a contrast between taking care of our own responsibilities and allowing other people to be a part of our lives. In other words, that it's one thing for people to help us carry our burdens, but first we are to take care of our own lives, be responsible. So there's a contrast here. So let's pick up in verse 3 and listen to what Paul writes to the church in Galatia. I'm going to read down through verse 9. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. And then verse 7 says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please the flesh, from the flesh will he reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Verse 3, Paul starts by talking to us. He says, if anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. He's talking about this comparison game. That when you're comparing yourselves to other people, you are not testing your own actions. And as long as you're comparing yourself to other people, what you're doing is giving yourself a way out of your responsibilities. Because see, if I look around and I say, I'm better than so-and-so, and maybe I'm really not. Maybe I don't even know so-and-so really well. What I've done is said, I'm okay. And I begin to set the standard, and no longer am I responsible for my obedience to God, because now I'm just okay because I'm better than somebody else. And Paul says, that's not the way this works, that we test ourselves. That don't be deceiving yourselves into being irresponsible. You have to test yourself against your own standards. If you do that, then you can have pride in yourself. Now, this is not a pride in that I'm above everybody else. This is the idea that I can make and change positive changes in my life and grow into something. And then he says in verse 5, and boy, if that's not a load, this is really tough for our culture. He says, carry your own load. For each of you should carry your own load. This is Paul's way of saying take responsibility for yourself. You have family responsibilities, financial responsibilities. You have opportunities that God gives you, and they are your responsibilities. Don't compare your opportunities and responsibilities with somebody else. Work on yourself. Carry your own load. Don't take your eyes off of your responsibilities. I can remember, and maybe I y'all's kids probably never did this, but I can remember saying to Billy, Billy, you did not make your bed. And Billy would say, what? Well, Holly didn't do, and he would name what Holly didn't do. And what do you say to that as a parent? I didn't ask you what Holly didn't do. I asked you what, I'm talking about what you didn't do. And what Paul is telling us is just that concept. We need to be paying attention to what we're doing. We need to take care of our own load. Don't compare your opportunities and your responsibilities with somebody else. When you do, you take your eyes off your own load. I can remember telling Billy, look, if you'd spend less time watching Holly and more time doing what I ask you to do, you'd get done what I ask you to get done. And we shake our heads, and that makes really good sense in the illustration of a brother and a sister. But what Paul is saying is this is what works for the entire church. Be responsible for the opportunities God has given you. Do what He calls you to do. This is the next step when we talk about serving. And then he says in verse 7, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Do not be deceived. Who was the smartest person in your world when you were growing up? For me, it was my mama. I thought mama knew. I don't know how she could. She knew things that I didn't think was possible for her to know. And I can remember wanting to go and do something after football practice one day with some buddies. And mom said, And I said, I am going. And I went. And I told mom. And mom had we had late practice, that I had to do extra running after practice. And I was there at practice late. And mom, I knew what I was doing because mom always thought that they practiced us way too long at football. She just thought it was horrible what they do to us. So I knew I was playing right into her groove spot there. You know what I mean? I said, Mom, you would not believe what they had me to do. And I'm going on, and I make up this story. I said, you need to go down there and talk to the football coach. Knowing full well that she would never do that, that would mortify her. My dad would have a fit, you know. He would say if he was running, he probably deserved it. They probably should run you a little farther. But I outsmarted my mom. I got away with it. And I thought I was something, you know. So guess what I did? I tried to do it again. How do you think that went? Not so well. But here's what Paul says. You may have fooled your mama. You may have fooled your dad. You may have fooled your wife. You may have fooled your husband. You may have fooled anybody, but you are not fooling God. He will not be mocked. He will not be deceived. You cannot just do what you want in your life and shake your fist at God and say, I know best. You reap what you sow. And this is hard. There are actions or consequences for our actions. You cannot outsmart God. Now, what was crazy to me is when I first started going to church and I was really young, there was this idea that here's what you did. You did what you wanted to on the weekend, and then you went to church and you said this magic prayer and confessed it all, and God was supposed to have amnesia and forget about everything, and it was all supposed to turn out good. It was about like it never happened. And I, being a guy, thought, this is the greatest thing since sliced bread. I'll do what I want, act the way I want, I'll say this little prayer, and then it'll all go away. Except there was a problem with that. And you know what the problem was? It didn't work. I'd say the little prayer, and guess what? There'd still be consequences for the way I acted. God does not have amnesia. He doesn't forget. He deals with us in our sin. Does He forgive us? Yes, but do the consequences go away? No, and you know that as well as I'm telling you that. You reap what you sow. Paul is telling us here that we're not getting away with it. See, what I began to understand is that even though I said the prayer, you know what? The sin that I thought was in secret, the thing that I thought that nobody knew about, you know what it was doing? It was corroding the inside of me. It was eating away at my soul. It was changing relationships. I was losing my integrity. No longer was I who I said I was. In all actuality, it was putting a barrier between me and God. And sooner or later, we reap what we sow. Does God forgive us? Yes. Of course He forgives our sins. He loves us with all perfection. His desire for us is that we would not continue to sin. Do you realize if the little magic prayer worked, that we would never change? That I would just keep right on sinning and sinning and sinning? And so would you. And God's desire is that we walk in a relationship with Him and live with Him. So He allows those consequences so that we would understand the decisions that we make impact our lives. God is a perfect Father. He loves us in every way. Our sins don't chase us into eternity, but they have effects in this world. He is not to be mocked. He knows what's going on, even when you think He doesn't. And then he goes on at the end, Paul writes at the end of this verse 7, he said, a man reaps what he sows. And then he goes on in verse 8 and he says, you know what? If you sow to the flesh, you reap of the flesh, you reap destruction. If you sow to the Spirit, you reap of the Spirit, you reap eternal life. Now, do you know what that means? Everything bears fruit. It's not like I got bad things and I got some in-between stuff that, you know, it ain't really too bad, it ain't really too good. And then I got my good things. He says, no, it's only either to the flesh or to the Spirit, and everything bears fruit. Some of it good, some of it bad. You reap what you sow. And we know this. It's intuitive to us that life is connected. Where you are today is a result of decisions you made in the past. And where you will be tomorrow is connected to what you do today and what you did yesterday. And that is the truth. And it's a good thing. Can you imagine what it would be like to live without the law of sowing and reaping? To wonder, you know what, if I did this, if I sow to the Spirit, how's it going to turn out? What's going to happen? I don't know. How about, or if I sow to the flesh, what's going to happen? You know, it's comforting when I drop my keys, when I drop my keys, that we know where to look for them. It gives us guidance. It helps us form decisions. And God is gracious to us and good to us, and He gives us a formula for this world. He says, if you sow to the flesh, you reap destruction. If you sow to the Spirit, you reap eternal life. And you don't have to wonder what's going to happen. You know, I can remember our kids, you know, and everybody's kids do this. You know, they do, you tell them, if you do this, you're going to get a what? Spanking. We had one of those that when he was young, he tried that all the time. See, we were meaning it. So after a while, guess what? He'd do it, and we'd say, what's going to happen? And what would he say? I'm getting a spanking. And guess how old he was? Not 17. Three. And what's so amazing to me is at three, this makes intuitive, it's like, I get it. They're not surprised. But at 17 or 33 or 43 or whatever of the three you want to go, we go, what do you mean, God? I sow to the flesh and I'm going to get destruction? I don't understand. And I'm like, where did we get stupid? What happened between 3 and 13 and 23? And this is a good thing because it guides me. I'm not surprised. It's how God shows me grace. Everything bears fruit. And here's the thing that I learned about consequences. You can wish or pray or love or try to do whatever you want away the consequences of your bad decisions, and what happens? They keep coming, don't they? They keep coming. I bought a car one time. It was a white Monte Carlo. Oh, baby, it was nice. I just couldn't stand it. I had to have it. And guess what? I bought it, and I found out it wasn't near what I thought it was. Sowed to my flesh, you know what I mean? I thought it made me look outstanding just to be driving it. And I found out that I was going to have to spend some more money on it. Then I wrecked it. Then I was going to have to spend some more money on it. And it got wrecked again. And I was going to have to spend some more money on it. And I kept going, God, I've done enough. Come on. Make this go away. You know how I got it to go away? I sold the stinking car. I mean, we just have to understand that we can't wish it away. You know how you get out of a bad circumstance? This is in essence the question that people come into my office and ask me all the time. It's really the essence of the question. How do I change my life, preacher? I don't like where I'm at. Okay, I'm going to tell you the answer to that question. You don't ever have to ask it again. Sow different seed. You don't get out of the way you are like in 3 minutes in the preacher's office. You get out of where you are by sowing different seed. You got in to where you are, you sowed your way in it, and you'll sow your way out of it. And I'm sorry. I don't have a tablet for you to take in my office that fix your marriage. I don't have anything that can fix broken relationships with children or parents and all the things. And you sow into where you are, and you sow to get out of it, and that is really hard for us to hear. Because it means that we carry our own load, that we're responsible for who we are and where we are. So be warned. You reap what you sow. Now I want to talk to you about the harvest, because this is what I think makes sowing hard. And listen to what Paul writes in verse 9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. Paul thought it was necessary to caution us about becoming weary. Why? Because harvest is always later. It's never soon enough for me. I want my harvest when? Now. I want it now. Come on. I went to church. I said a prayer. I put a bigger check in the offering. I want to go home and harvest. It's time, right? Later is what happens when you harvest. Sometimes the harvest doesn't even come in this life. Do you understand that God's perception of time is eternity? We want a harvest when? Now. I want to be able to see it now. Well, you know what? Moses never made it to the promised land. Sometimes the harvest is well done, good and faithful, and the harvest is in eternity with the Lord. And that, wait a minute, Billy, you say I need to sow, and you're talking about not even getting the reward in this lifetime, and that's exactly what I'm telling you. And sometimes, you know what I found out about the harvest? It doesn't look like what I want it to look like. Sometimes I've sown and in hoping to change relationships, and you know what I got out of it? A change me. I didn't get a change. The relationship really didn't change, because you know what? The other person's not sowing too. If you're going to change a relationship, both people have to sow. It's a hard concept. But sometimes all I get out of it is a change in me. Sometimes when I sow, I want stuff back. You know, I can remember when Carol and I first started talking about tithing. And this is what everybody always talks about when they talk about sowing, tithing. And I can remember talking about that and thinking, Carol, first of all, you're crazy. We'll never be able to give 10% of what we make. You know, that's a crazy concept. And then I said, okay, I get the reaping. So I said, sowing is about reaping. So I said, we'll sow money so we get more money. And you know what I got when I sowed more money? I didn't get more money. What I got was obedience. What I got was discipline. What I got was a greater walk with God. And I'm like, so when we sow, you have to understand that we can't become weary because it's going to take some time. We planted a garden, and I planted way too much. I planted 25 tomato plants for me and Carol. Is that not correct? So some of y'all are going to get tomatoes, whether you like them or not. A pound of green bean seeds and lima bean seeds and zipper pea seeds. And you know what? I planted them Tuesday, and none of them have come up. What the heck, over? It rained too. Did you see how soft and nice that rain was? Do I have plants? No. Why? Harvest later. In fact, here's what he says is that what? For at the proper time you will reap a harvest. Now, what's the proper time? When God designs the time, I don't get to tell him when the proper time is. I can, you know, this works so easy with kids. It's like, I can remember saying, you're going to bed at X time, 8 o'clock. Well, we don't want to go to bed at that time. Well, I don't care when you want to go to bed. I'm telling you when you're going to go to bed, and I get to assign the time you get to go to bed because you're a crumb snatcher and you live at my house. That's how this works. Well, guess what? I live in God's economy, and he gets to tell me when the time is. At the proper time, at his choosing, I will reap a harvest, and the harvest will be what he chooses. And I am going to, this is where last week ties into what we're doing this week, because I'm going to surrender my life and trust God and know that what he deems is proper and time and what it is will be best for me, because that's who God is. And he loves me that much, and he proved that to me because he gave me his son on a cross. Now I want to give you something really practical that I've learned in my 56 years. You reap later and greater. Later is why it's so easy to give up doing the right thing. Later is why we quit, because it doesn't happen fast enough. Anybody ever quit a diet because they didn't lose weight quick enough? Yes. Why do we not quit eating things like biscuits and gravy when they put on the first couple pounds, you know? We don't stop till it gets out there where we can see it. Then we quit sowing biscuits and gravy, right? I mean, it makes sense then, but we work just the opposite when it comes to reaping. Later is why we look at other people. See, because late, if it's not happening soon enough, then I look around and I go, it's not fair. They're not doing good, and look how good their life is. Well, you know what? It's not the proper time. They're not reaping their harvest. And here's what I know for sure. Because this is what Scripture teaches. One day they will reap a harvest. It is later and it is greater. I plant one green bean seed, and what do you get? You get a plant. Now, how many green beans do you get off of that? A multitude. You get one tomato plant, you get a multitude of tomatoes. And this idea, the greater part of this, can even be harder for us. Because it's not necessarily fair in our minds. There needs to be this, we have this idea that it's a one-to-one principle. I did one thing bad, so I'll have one consequence, right? Well, sometimes that isn't how it works, is it? Last night we were coming out of Carrollton, and there is a car that was beside us. And it's, I don't know, what time, 8:45? It's dark enough that you need to have your lights on. They don't have their lights on. There's a car, there's a policeman like two cars behind them. And I'm going, turn your lights on. You know, in fact, the car that was right behind them blinked the lights trying to get them to turn on their lights. They don't turn on the lights. What do you think happened? Cop turned his on, them fancy blue ones, pulled them over. Yes, he did. And I'm sitting there and I wanted to go, you know what? You know what he's going to do now? He's going to get out. He's going to walk up there with that light. He's going, I want to see your driver's license. Now what is he going to do? I made one bad decision. I didn't turn my lights on. Uh-oh, what if my license is not good? You see it all. You guys have watched this on Cops. You know, it's how they catch bad guys all the time. You know what I mean? They go, oh, look, you got pot in your car. Oh, wait a minute, you got open out a container. Guess what? Now you're going to jail. Why? Because you made one mistake, you didn't turn your lights on, and it a little bit later and a little bit greater, and you're in the county jail. And that's the way it works, folks. I remember visiting a guy in jail, bought drugs. He says, it's not fair, Billy. And I said, what do you mean? He said, it took me 2 minutes. Really, he said, it took me less than 2 minutes to buy the drugs. They caught me with it. I'm going to jail for 8 years. That's later and greater. And that's how it works, folks. That's what I've learned about harvest. Now, it also works on the good side. Because I am that for another man. There's a man that poured into my life, and he's still a preacher, and I call him every once in a while, and he is always encouraged to hear about the growth and the life change in our church. Because he always said this, he says, man, I never knew that the parking lot conversations we had would bring God so much glory. It's later and it's greater, and it works on the good side and the bad side. You reap what you sow. So what do you do with this knowledge? I'll tell you what you do. If there's areas in your life that you came to church hurting with this morning, going, I got to change. My finances are a mess. My dating life, my marriage, my kids, my professional life, it's a mess. What do I do? Start sowing different seeds. Start sowing seeds of obedience and surrender to God. You can't keep doing the same thing and expect it to be different. Sow different. Don't compare your life to others. Carry your own load. Place your trust and confidence in the one who ordained the principle of sowing and reaping. But he has told us and promised us that if we sow to the Spirit, we reap of the Spirit eternal life. And see, it's only by His power and His grace that I sow good fruit. Because I'm really not capable of it myself. So I close this morning with just a simple question. What are you sowing? What are you sowing in your life? Because some of us, I think we have this idea we're just living. And every day I'm sowing. So if you want to start really living, start sowing. What are you sowing? Let's pray.